You're listening to KDNK's Public Affairs program for Land's Sake. I'm Bill Kite, your host, and today's guests are Diana Alcantara and Sarah Simpson. Welcome to today's show. We'll start with Diana. Tell us a little bit about yourself and why you're here.
Mm-hmm. Well, hi, Bill, and thanks for having me on your show.
We're here to talk. I'll start over. Hi, Bill. Thanks for having me on your show. Happy to be here to talk about Land's Sake here with Sarah. I've come to talk about youth and the land and reestablishing our connection, rediscovering our connection to the land through children's gardens.
All right. And your program is called Boot Camp Gardening. Is that correct?
I have the past five summers, I've held a summer program called Garden Boot Camp for Kids.
Okay.
And I've held it at the Carbondale Community School Learning Garden. I've held it at Demeter's Garden at 3rd Street Center.
Okay.
And at the Rec Center. One summer I did it over at the Rec Center here in town.
All right. And Sarah, what about your story? I know you're the manager of the Wednesday Farmers Market and the Youth Work Farm. So tell us a little bit about what you do.
Yeah. So I'm excited to be managing the Farmers Market, like you said, this summer. We're accepting SNAP and Double Up Food Bucks for the first time, and that's really exciting and new. And I am working to get a youth farm project off the ground in the lower Roaring Fork Valley. So I've been trying to gain some momentum and talking to a lot of folks about this really awesome concept that came out of the late 80s in Boston, which is a job readiness program for teens on an urban farm. So that's what I'm working towards. And I met Diana in the community, and I'm just really excited about the work she's doing and excited to be here.
Well, it's exciting to have two young women that are involved in bringing kids outdoors and finding out what their connection to where we get our food is. And so really glad to have both of you with us today. Diana, where did you get your inspiration to do this?
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm a teacher over at Carbondale Community School. It's my eighth year there, and I was truly guided over to that school that's so innovative and believes in lifelong learning and community and experimenting, hands-on learning. When I was hired there, I was hired to be the Spanish teacher and teach ESL. But destiny had a different decision for me, which was to start a school garden. And in 2014, I attended a workshop over at Roaring Fork High School that was sponsored by Slow Food, Hadley Henschel's program at the Ag Bio over at Roaring Fork High School and their Biodome, and the Gutsy Community Garden. And so I did this workshop on how to create a living classroom and get kids outside in the soil, learning about how to grow plants, how to, you know, all the parts of a plant. So I was inspired in that way, and community school was the right place for me to begin this project. But I was also inspired by the beginning of Demeter's Garden over at the 3rd Street Center and meeting people at the Orchard Church who have the Goodsey Community Garden and taking classes there and having a plot there first, because I didn't grow up gardening. I had flower pots on the porch. I grew up on the Front Range, and they don't call it the Rocky Mountains for nothing, right? You just can't dig into the soil.
Right.
But my ancestors were gardeners on both sides, farmers on both sides of my family.
Right.
So I'm calling in, I think, ancestral wisdom, the need to connect back to the land, and landing at the Carbondale Community School.
Right. I go to the Orchard, and it's pretty neat that they have the garden and expanded it the last few years ago.
Yeah.
It's a pretty good program there. And so, Sarah, what about you? What inspired you to get involved in what you're involved in?
Yeah, so similarly, I didn't grow up in Denver. I grew up in Southern California, but I similarly kind of lost touch with farming in the last few generations in my family, but my grandparents were also on farms, and I just felt like there's this huge gap in our understanding of where our food comes from and how do we pursue this knowledge that should be passed down from generation to generation. And in college, became really passionate about it, moved to Salt Lake City after college, and started working in community gardens and then on a farm project where we hired teens. And so that model is something I've kind of been chasing ever since, because it really, I think, spoke to what Diana's saying, that we so quickly lose touch with where our food comes from and how to learn to do this growing food together as a community and nourishing our bodies, nourishing the soil at the same time. And so how do we get back in touch with that? And so, I, like I said, I've been chasing that ever since. The farm I apprenticed on in Massachusetts in 2017 was a farm that was kind of born out of that back to the land movement and a caretaker farm. And so, yeah, I've been just kind of thinking up this dream and then been talking to community members and feeling like this is the time. And Diana's been doing the work and she's 5 years in now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're up to 16 beds. When I first started, we put down some cardboard over the grass and layered about 6 inches of really good soil. And I had help from some people here in town, and you all know who you are, and I'm grateful. And we started with a potato bed and some beets and some carrots. And now I'm up to 700 by 400 square foot garden with raspberry patches, strawberry, and it's all been donated. That's also a beautiful thing, is that I've been building community and these relationship with not only businesses, but nonprofits and other gardeners and farmers in the valley.
And we can talk about that later, some of your sponsors and how people can help you. Either one of you probably don't know that I was on a commune in the 1960s called the Lower Farm.
Mm-hmm.
And I plowed with a 1929 Farmall tractor you had to crank by hand.
All right.
And so I that's my experience, and I'm glad to put that behind me for reasons we won't go into today. But where is your camp at?
So the Garden Boot Camp this summer will be held at the Carbondale Community School, and I started a garden club 4 years ago, and we've named that space that has a fence now around it called the Garden of Yum.
Garden of Yum.
Yeah, so my summer camps will be held over at the community school in the Garden of Yum.
Okay. Do you like yummy kind of yum? It's...
Yep.
Okay, good.
Yummy fresh food right out of this, right there off the plant.
Do kids often reach down, just pick it and eat it right there?
Yes.
All right. I like to do that with
carrots.
They
are pretty much unstoppable, and I have a fair number of kids that want, can I eat? They're holding up grass. Can I eat grass? I'm like, well, you can, but you probably shouldn't. Your body can't handle too much. They want to start eating everything, so then we have to, put the brakes on and say, okay, here's what you can't eat.
So when does your camp start, and what are the dates?
First week of camp is June 10, 11, 12, 13, 14th, 10th through the 14th. And then the following week will be the 17th through the 21st.
Okay.
And then, really what we'll be doing is just watching, because I'm planting now with the kids that are in school right now, but I'll have some kids from my school, but I pull in kids from all over the valley. So we'll have some germinating, very small baby things, baby spinach, baby kale, baby this, baby that. And then we'll be continuing to plant. The third week of camp will be August 5th through the 9th. And that camp is called How to Feed Your Dragon or Unicorn. We're going to look at recipes on what we can pull out of the garden and make really colorful, beautiful dishes to feed our unicorn or our dragon, but really it's for ourselves too. And it's ages 5 to 10.
Good age to do that with.
It's a good entry point to get kids back. And there, you don't really have to plan. I mean, I'll have a lesson plan when it's, you know, the school day. But if they find a grasshopper or a ladybug, or, my gosh, if the little garden snake goes through, that becomes the lesson in the moment. And the wisdom is there with the insects and the plants and noticing, really noticing and dropping in what's going on.
So what are the ages for your kids that come to this thing?
Yeah, so I recommend it's ages 5 to 12.
Okay.
I have had a couple of four-year-olds, but it depends on the kid, but 4 years old is it's a pretty long day. The camp runs from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m.
Okay, good. So they're not going to be camped out in the wilderness like, you know, they're going to learn to go home at night and come back and forth, right? Is that the deal? Or?
Yeah, pick up as promptly at 3 o'clock, please.
So how far along are you with your project, Sarah? And how can people help you out?
Yeah, so I have been in this process of meeting with interested community members. I had a visionary board meeting at the beginning of April, got a mini grant for $5,000 from Garfield Healthy Communities Coalition. And then I was just working with the Food and Nutrition Summit group that's part of Garfield County and Garfield County Public Health. So been having a lot of exciting conversations, meeting with landowners, trying to find out where can this concept and this project have a home. And I'm really excited about the potential to use land in Glenwood Springs or Newcastle, because I live in Glenwood, and also because there's a lot of cool things already happening in Carbondale. So I'm trying to move a little bit more energy down valley. I'm at this kind of exciting point where I feel like there's a lot of momentum and a lot of potential. I have all of the curriculum, the model. I'm already developing these relationships with people who would be purchasing the produce and with Lift Up, where we would donate produce. But it's kind of this land piece that needs to fall into place. And then I'm chasing after a few big grants. So,
yeah, Lord help us. We wouldn't want to be too cool in Carbondale, would we? So, tell us about your financing and how you're working this. I think you're going to a nonprofit, aren't you?
Yes, Diana? Yes. People have asked me if I wanted to become a nonprofit. I'm like, not really. I don't want to put energy into that. I'm sure I can find the right partner. And so Fat City Farmers has agreed to house my boot camps. We'll see where we go from there. So I'm very grateful to Elaine Pavic and Michael Thompson for agreeing to adopt my project. So that's where grant money is going through. And I'm just grateful to Carbondale Community School in the first place for allowing me to start this garden. Although the principal at the time, I said, I want to start a garden. He says, great, there's no money. I'm like, okay, I don't need money to start a garden. I'll figure out a way to do it without money. And
so why do we always hear that refrain when it has to do with children and the most important thing in the world is education and connecting them? I don't get that. But anyway.
Well, it's okay. I mean, money is just, we're just exchanging something for something, and we can do that other ways than, money's not real in my world. It's not, I mean, we need it to survive, but I think we're also looking at ways to move out of money model. So after I did those first two beds, someone donated, oh, I'm thinning out my garden. Would you like some oregano? I'm like, sure. Would you like some sage? Sure. So things just started coming my way as I put the intention out there. I made the connections. And even now people say, hey, I'm thinning out my strawberries. Do you want some? I'm like, yes. And now I got to give Sarah a tour yesterday of the garden. We have a lovely strawberry patch. So I do want to give thanks, though, to this year's sponsors of my camp, or Alpine Bank, Aspen Community Foundation, Aspen Thrift Shop. I'm hoping, haven't heard from them, but they've sponsored my camp the last four summers, and Eagle Crest Nursery.
All right. Some good sponsors there.
Yep.
You're listening to KDNK's Public Affairs Program for Land's Sake. So, digging in the dirt is something we've all done as kids. Probably even most of us have grabbed a mouthful of dirt, a handful of dirt, and stuck it in our mouth. Mm-hmm. What do you have any pushback at all about what you're doing from people? I mean, sometimes there's criticism on something like this, or are people really responding well to what you're doing?
I think their support is growing. In the beginning, it was, why do I want my child to be gardening during the school day? And they get to garden 1 hour a week. It's not like they're out there all day, every day, although some of them would love to be out there all day, every day. The garden space allows a connection, a point of entry and connection for certain kids. Like, some kids are very athletic or very driven to be in plays and do the drama or musical, but other kids need the garden. And I can just tell right away when a child's already dialed in. They just want to hold the seed. They just have this intuitiveness about the life cycle of a plant and how they already know how to plant seeds, you know, and the science behind all of it. They're just tuned into it and they get it. But I wouldn't say there was pushback. It was more of, you're gardening today? Like, people think, oh, they just know how to garden. It's like, well, will you get out there and try it? You realize, plus where we are, our elevation, we're semi-arid. Your relationship with the land and the soil as it is now, it's not really good for gardening. Or maybe a couple years and then you'll deplete the soil.
So go ahead.
Oh, yeah. I just want to speak to how in tune already Diana students are. When I was visiting yesterday, she had a crew come out. I think they were in fifth grade, and they already had their different roles. She was kind of laying out the options. These are what we're doing today. These are the different things that we need to achieve today. Who wants to jump in? And students were just jumping into sifting compost and planning out a planting area. And it was really cool to just see the ownership that they had, because you set them up for that. Mm-hmm.
So if you wanted, do you need more sponsors, I guess, is one question.
Both always. Of
you? Okay.
Sure, yeah.
So Diana, first, how can people help you sponsor this, and how can kids apply or their parents apply?
So I'm always looking for funding to help low income and even middle income students partially offset the cost of the camp, because I have costs to rent the garden, the school for the summer, and get insurance and we do a hot lunch together. So I have expenses, pay myself, pay my helper.
Right.
So if parents are interested in signing up for the camp, I'm going to say my phone number now, and then I'll say it again at the end. It's 970-274-2472, Or you can always remember to call Carbondale Community School, and I'm the only Diana at the school.
Okay.
Get information that way. And I'll put flyers up around town, too, at the library, that Mana Foods. I'll have a flyer there.
All right. Sarah, what about you? How can people get in touch with you?
Yeah, so I am managing the farmer's market. So if you look up the Carbondale Farmer's Market, just hit me up. You can do that via Facebook or on our website. And I'll be around this summer every Wednesday, 10 to 3. I'm really excited to see a lot of folks in the community out there.
Yeah, so I'm working during that period of time. So one of these days, I'm going to just take off and come over there and see you guys and see what I can grab and buy from mm-hmm. Farmers Market on Wednesday. When is it open on Wednesday? What's the time?
Yep, it's 10 a.m. to 3 p.m.
10 a.m. to 3 p.m., mm-hmm. Okay. What would you like for parents that are maybe interested in this, what would you like for them to know about what your day is like when you do this with kids, or something that you want to throw out there for people to know what's going on here?
Mm-hmm. So the week-long camp, 9 a.m. to 3, we learn basic gardening skills. We learn how to interact with the plant using our senses and also asking from the heart about the plant. And whenever we harvest, I ask them to say thank you, either in their heart or say it out loud. Thank you, plant. And then we pick a leaf. So they'll learn plant ID. They'll get to taste all the herbs. We have this one part of the garden called Herb Island. That's where most of the herbs are perennial, and they're coming back every year. How to interact with the plant ID, what they like and what they don't like. And by the end of the week, they can guarantee you they all will have tasted new things, even pulling up little tiny carrots, even if they're only a few centimeters long. The vibrancy, the taste of a carrot like that is unbelievable. Same with the green. You can actually just put the whole thing in your
right.
mouth. It's like they've never tasted a carrot right out of the ground. I have kids that will eat cabbage raw when they come back in August after the garden has been growing all summer. Mm-hmm. Like the cabbages will be gone in about a week. They just keep, I think the deer have been in the garden. It's actually the kids just going tear off pieces. So they're tasting things, trying new plants, basic cooking skills, basic gardening skills, the importance of soil and soil health, awareness around composting and just the trash waste created in nature. Nothing is wasted. Everything is reused and goes back in the soil and is rebirthed again. We also just have playtime. I'm fortunate at the community school we have water rights, so there is a ditch that runs right through the property, and the kids could just, put a kid in front of some water and they'll splash around and
right. yeah,
they'll
they
build
will.
Little dams and see how the waterfall can do this, or they'll send dandelions and have dandelion races down the ditch. So they really get to be outside and in nature. Now, you mentioned we're not going out into the wilderness,
right.
but we all need to connect back to land in our own way, and nature in our own way that feels safe, and then gradually you'll take in more and more. So they just spend the day outside,
okay.
except for lunch. We go inside and have lunch together.
Well, with supposedly a nature deficit disorder with kids nowadays not getting outside, I think this is a really good thing for parents to get their kids involved in something that's really important.
Mm-hmm. I have customers that kids are coming back for the fifth year now.
All right, good.
Fifth year in a row.
You know, at the museum there in Glenwood at 1001 Colorado Avenue, we have an herb garden in the back of the museum, and we invite the neighbors when it gets up to so high to come pick what they want, and they kind of like us for that reason. It's fun to have a community
mm-hmm.
herb garden or a garden like you're doing, so because it really does involve people, and people mm-hmm. like to pick things and be part of that, so that's pretty cool.
Yeah, I mean, we have heritage fruit tree projects springing up in the valley, and the Thompson House, they're creating a heritage garden.
Oh, good.
So you're right. There is a lot going on in Carbondale, and a lot of awareness, and then up valley and down valley too. We've got projects happening.
Things are moving, and you can feel it. And I think this time of year especially, it's we're really feeling that movement.
Well, we'd like to have you back, Sarah, when you get everything set, so you can let people know what's, you know, have you come back to the program, and maybe after you're through with gardening, have you back in the program, talk to us about it too.
Mm-hmm.
So
that would be wonderful.
What would you like for us to know, Sarah? I didn't ask you that we haven't talked about yet.
I think one of the most exciting things about this job training program that I'm hoping to start is that it really focuses on intentionally bringing youth from different parts of the valley together and different backgrounds together. And to me right now, that's a really important aspect of the work that we're doing, is that everybody belongs on the land. And if we're working it together, we're building community, and we're also kind of fighting some of the separation that we're seeing within our society. And I think that that work is done on the ground, and it's done through work like what Diana's doing, and it's done through work like what this farm project can accomplish also. But it really takes the community's momentum to build these things. And Diana mentioned a bunch of sponsors. I think that without that support, these programs don't exist. And so we need the buy-in, and we need, I think, the belief that's already here that this is sustaining to us as humans and to our community.
Right, and not everything is sustainable like people believe, but this is a program that's you've sustained it for a number of years now, Diana, for your
yes,
program.
Yes, and I started small. I highly recommend you start small and then add, you know, it'll grow.
Right.
As in divine timing. We mentioned yesterday, we were chatting about food security, mm-hmm. like for our nation and locally, and how if you get kids interested in having their little pot with herbs growing in it, you know, some oregano, some parsley, some cilantro, and what they taste like and how to use them then in culinary ways, right? How to put them into their dishes, then their awareness is going to open up mm-hmm. to, you know, where their food comes from, and they're going to care about it. They're going to care about the quality and the taste of their food.
Mm-hmm. And care about the land as well.
And then there mm-hmm. we go. Yeah. They're going to care about the air, the water, you know, the land, and recognize that we are made up of all those elements, air, water, fire, you know, minerals. And if those things aren't clean and healthy and abundant, then we won't be. Mm-hmm. So we're talking about the term food security. And also that means everyone deserves access to fresh, healthy, local food. That there should not be economic barriers just because your income is lower. You should still be able to have access. That's why I love the farmer's market is starting up with the SNAP.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm really excited about SNAP and Double Up Food
Double
Bucks,
Double Up
too.
Food Bucks, that was the other term I was trying to come up with.
Yeah.
So we have to start with the youth to shift the consciousness, to shift the what you're thinking about. Like, food doesn't just come from the grocery store. Because mm-hmm. I truly believe in the next few years that lifeline from California where we're getting our food is probably going to shift with climate. The changes that
quite
are
possible.
That yep. are happening. And we have the whole Midwest, we were talking about this, the whole Midwest is just dead soil now. It's mm-hmm. been used so much, and monocropping, mm-hmm. they're growing corn and soy, and spraying it with phosphorus and nitrogen mm-hmm. is what you need, right, to grow a plant.
So in the closing minutes here, if you had all the money you needed, what would you do with it for this program? Who wants to go first?
I can jump into that one. So
okay.
I would build out an acre of farmland and hire 10 teenagers to work on the land, and a couple young adults or college interns to lead crews of teens through farm work. And we would start growing produce, and that produce would make its way into the community by being donated to food pantries and soup kitchens, and then also being sold to help sustain the programming. And it would be really exciting to see that jump to life. But I'll pass that back over to Diana. What would you do, Diana?
So I feel my role to support what you want to do is to start kids as young as preschool through sixth grade. And, you know, gardening is really happening here in the summer when class is out. So I would create a school. I don't want to call it summer school because that just doesn't sound fun. But a school that invites learning about science, literacy, art, and being in the garden and outside as much as possible. The free tuition, and the kids could come from, you know, the whole summer and have fun outside and turn off their video games and be together in the garden.
Right. What have you learned from the years you've been doing this, Diana, that somebody listening might save them some grief?
Mm-hmm. There's so much wisdom in learning how to grow plants, and the patience and the magic happens. I mean, even now that I've been gardening for about 8 years, when you put those seeds on top of the soil and you cover them up, you're like, are they really going to grow? Are they really going to germinate? And then when they do, you're like, yay, you see these two little leaves pop up. It's just magical.
It really is. You talked about talking to plants. There's a book I remember reading years ago about plants and talking to them. But whenever I was in the field with native people, and they would find a sacred plant, they would always say a prayer and ask permission
mm-hmm.
and tell the plant how they were going to use it. So I'm kind of mm-hmm. used to that. It may sound funny to people listening, but that's quite all right. Those of us who know how that works, mm-hmm. don't we?
Mm-hmm. And the plants will teach you.
Yes, they will. That is for sure.
Yeah.
Well, listen, thank you so much, Diana and Sarah, for being with us today. And you've been listening to KDNK's Public Affairs Program for Land's Sake. And just remember, second Tuesday of every month at 4:30, and whatever you do for Mother Nature, do it for land's sake.